saw posts down in Reedsport, Oregon, because our committee was down there, and they wanted to know if the testimony that we had received while we were in Reedsport had made a difference on any of the bills that we passed last week. And I said, yes, indeed it did. We took something out of the bill that you didn't like. So they were really pleased to hear that. Today, well, hopefully we won't have to take anything out of a bill that we like or don't like today. We have quite a bit on our agenda. Do you want to do... the work session. Do we have any bills to introduce?
We do have a couple of...
Yeah, let's get that out of the way really quickly. We're going to open a work session
Madam Chair, right now. I move LC 2044 and LC 1642 be adopted as committee bills.
Senator Cruz moves that LC 2044 and LC 1642 be adopted and introduced as committee bills. Any discussion? Okay, any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Okay, I will remind all of you in the room, you hear it every time you come into my committee, no cell phones, no PDAs, no noises, any kind, please. This is your one and only warning. If I hear it go off, you will make a contribution to the Common School Fund to help fund all-day kindergarten. So please, it's just really polite to have that not interrupt our guests. So we are going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 213. I'll have Ms. Richardson talk about what the bill does, and then we'll get started.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 213 requires school districts to offer half-day or full-day kindergarten or both. It adjusts the state school fund apportionment based on the kindergarten offerings. The changes in apportionment would begin with the 2007-2008 distribution. It declares an emergency would take effect July 1, 2007. It has a subsequent referral to finance and revenue.
Okay, so whatever we do here today, you're going to do all over again when it comes to finance and revenue. First up, I think we have Susan Castillo, our state superintendent, and are you going to come up with Pat Burke and Brian Reeder? So if you all want to come on up. Oh, that's our camera. Our camera is adjusting to make sure you're in full view.
Okay. Well, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Susan Castillo, State Superintendent, Public Instruction for the State of Oregon. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 213. College begins in kindergarten. That is a longtime slogan of the Education Trust, which is a nationally known education organization that is very, very focused on closing the academic achievement gap in this country, and they do lots of good work. And they believe that kindergarten is absolutely essential to quality kindergarten, to helping us move forward on closing the gap. It is critical on closing the academic achievement gap, and we have a growing number of schools that are starting full-day programs, scrapping together the money that is necessary to accomplish that. And it is making a significant difference across our state, and you're going to be hearing from people about that today. It really is the next phase of the early childhood education continuum, along with Head Start, to help students maximize academic gains. It's smart spending. Senate Bill 213 offers a smart state spending solution to our formula because it invests in early childhood programs, which, as we all know, helps to reduce delinquency, drug and alcohol abuse, and crime and incarceration rates. I want to make one thing clear for everyone who doesn't realize it yet, that Senate Bill 213 is not a mandate. It simply removes a 33-year-old barrier to full-day kindergarten in the school funding formula. So kindergarten students only get a half ADM for the purposes of the school funding formula, and that has not been updated since 1973. And I don't think we can think of too many things that have not been updated since 1973. Mm. And how we fund kindergarten no longer reflects what a growing practice is out there in across the state. It bridges the gap between full and half-day programs without forcing a mandate on our local school district. So it really does retain local control for our districts. The school funding formula isn't static. It is meant to change and adapt with the needs of our students. We give extra money to districts for our English language learners, for students in poverty and students with severe physical and special needs, and yet we don't provide a full funding for full-day kindergarten. So we need to modernize our formula, really get with the 21st century practices that we know are very helpful for our students. We know that teachers and districts and parents want full-day kindergarten. As I travel around the state, it is one of the issues that repeatedly comes up. We currently have 8,500 children in a full-day kindergarten programs, and this has doubled in just the last 2 years. There are all different combinations of how districts are accomplishing this, using their federal Title I dollars, asking parents to pay a tuition, which many parents are willing to do because they do believe in full-day kindergarten, or having private fundraising efforts in districts to help make up the difference on what the state is not providing on funding for those children. We know that children in full-day programs, on average, make greater gains in their reading achievement scores compared to those in half-day programs. In full-day programs, on average, they make greater gains in their math achievement scores compared to those in half-day programs. They're less likely to be held back a grade or referred to special education programs. And we know that full-day kindergarten programs are effective in closing the achievement gap between students who come from differing economic and racial backgrounds. And we know that full-day programs have longer-lasting academic benefits for our children in poverty. And as we all know, we have a growing number of children in poverty, so full-day programs are needed today more than ever. David Douglas School District switched to full-day kindergarten, and a number of at-risk children meeting benchmarks doubled the next year. Crooked River Elementary in Prineville credits increases in math and reading scores to full-day kindergarten, and you'll be hearing, as I said, from teachers and parents and superintendents about the benefits that they are seeing today as a result of these programs. You may also be hearing today from some of my closest friends and allies in public education that Senate Bill 213 is not a good idea and that it creates winners and losers. And friends can disagree on issues, of course. And they will also say that it's not fair to districts that may not have the space or capital resources right now to start offering full-day kindergarten. But one thing you'll notice is that none of our friends are going to dispute the benefits of full-day kindergarten or say that, you know, that they know that that it is delivering better results for our kids. And I can assure you that our current system of funding kindergarten only creates losers, and that is the school children of our state. So do my friends, I understand and respect your concerns, but to anyone who testifies in opposition to this bill today, I ask you then to please provide alternative solutions that will move us forward on getting more children into full-day programs in our state. Because we are sitting at a crossroads in Oregon, we're at a time when we are going to make a major reinvestment this session in our schools. It is the time to make very targeted reinvestments in our schools, and we know that as we're all focused on closing the gap, one of the best places to place that money is in full-day kindergarten. There is a strong movement to fund schools this session at $6.3 billion. I hope it's at least that this session before you leave this session. And that will mean almost $900 million more dollars being put into public education in Oregon, a reinvestment, which is so terrific that that is going to happen finally after all, you know, the recession and all these very difficult times. So it's time for us to make smart reinvestments, targeted reinvestments, that we know are going to help children every single day. So I pledge to my friends in the legislature and in the education community to continue to speak out and address the challenges of giving our districts the funding to offer full-day kindergarten. And instead of saying that we can't do it, let's take the first step and figure out how we can do it, because we owe it to the children of this state. And once again, as I travel around the state and I visit especially with kindergarten teachers and first grade teachers and second grade and third grade teachers, everybody in those primary early grades, they all see the benefits of full-day kindergarten. And as I said, we do have a growing number, and we can make a significant difference if we change the formula and stop the disincentive that currently exists in our state because of the funding formula today. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. I think what I'm going to do is hold the questions until we hear from the two other panelists.
Sure.
Who might be providing us some technical information. And then, so if you can all, I'm writing my questions down on a pad right here. So are they here to offer testimony or just here to answer?
Well,
you're here for the technical questions. Good, because they're coming at you. Right now, I'll start out. As you know, and Mr. Burke is really well aware of this because he was over here during the hearings on that, We just passed a bill out of here lowering the compulsory education age from 7 to 6. Mm-hmm. And you would have thought we were committing Harry Carey. I mean, it was, the conversation surrounding that was pretty vitriolic at times, because people felt that we were coming into their families and making decisions for them that we shouldn't be making. That was just from 7 to 6. Now you're talking about all-day kindergarten. And you mentioned that it's not mandatory, but explain to me how a parent who's going to start emailing us will say that's not mandatory.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, well, it's not mandatory, and any parent that wants to continue to have their child in a half-day program can continue to do that. I think districts are going to be making those decisions on what's best for their parents in their district. And if there isn't support for full day, you know, I would imagine that a district is not going to pursue that. But we know there is growing support, and where there is, especially in those areas where we know that it makes a significant difference for children who need that extra support and help, then we would be in a better position to help those districts move forward. So okay. It's not mandatory. We're not saying to parents, you have to have your children in an all-day kindergarten program. But we know a lot of parents want their children, and right now it's tough for many districts to do it.
All right. Thank you. Now, two more technical questions. The one is, that's sort of a Hobbesian choice. I'm not sure what answer you're going to give me, but if you have only a limited amount of dollars, which we do, everybody thinks we have a lot now, but we don't, because the disinvestment has been so bad in the last 15 or so years. Anyway, if we only have a limited amount of dollars, where would you rather invest it, in fully funding in Head Start or offering all-day kindergarten?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I don't think we have to make that choice. I think they're both equally important, and they're part of an early learning agenda that should be a very important agenda for the state, along with reducing class size in the early grades. It really needs to be pre-K, Head Start, and then full-day kindergarten as a continuing support for those children who absolutely need it, and addressing the class size issue. All of those are an extremely important package on early learning for our state, and we need to be making progress in all of those areas, and hopefully we can make progress in all of those areas this session.
So the second technical question, Superintendent, would sort of give me the same answer that you just gave me, I think, because it's the capital construction needs. If we're going to reduce class sizes, we have to provide more capital construction, because we've got to give them more space and we have to give them more staff. So that's important to me as well. So how, you know, when you have a limited amount of dollars, what are you going to leave us with? What choice to make? Is it Head Start, kindergarten, or capital construction to help reduce class sizes?
Well, I hope that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I hope we don't not do anything because of the challenge of capital construction. I absolutely see the needs on capital construction as very serious, and we do need to address those. But I hope that if we don't come up with the perfect solution for addressing that it doesn't prevent us from continuing to make progress on full-day kindergarten, because we know that there are districts that are ready to go on full-day kindergarten if they could only get some more help financially from the state. And it would help so many children enormously and help us prevent the achievement gap from starting. There are, it's my understanding, a number of bills that are going to be introduced to try to help our districts, especially our fast-growing districts, with their construction needs and capital needs. And, you know, they've been introduced before and haven't found support by the legislature. I'm hoping this session that there will be support for finding solutions on how we help our districts with their capital needs. So I think that there are other ways that we can address that, if, you know, not in this formula solution, but certainly there are other there's other legislation this session that I hope we're going to see pass that will bring about some solutions for the capital needs, because I agree with you. It's very, very important, and we need to address that so that all districts that want to take advantage of this change in the formula would be in a position to do that.
Thank you, Superintendent. Those are all my questions, and I know we're going to hear from Superintendent Phillips from the Portland Public School District, who will talk about their experience with all-day kindergarten. Question, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reference was made, Superintendent, to the 8,500, 1 out of 5 kindergarten students mm-hmm. are enrolled in a full-day program. How many students are not enrolled in any kindergarten program?
are not enrolled in any kind of kindergarten program?
Yes.
I don't know if we have those numbers. Do we have those numbers, Brian?
Chair Walker, Senator Morse, we don't attempt to collect data on students who are not coming to school. But what I can tell you, if you look at the number of students who are attending school by grade, we have roughly 40,000 kindergartners. We then have roughly 41,000 first graders. So we don't see a huge gap there in, you know, if we had a lot of kindergartners not kindergarten age students actually not attending public kindergarten, we would expect to see a bigger jump there from the kindergarten to the first grade numbers. So I think it's not a large number, but certainly there are students who attend private kindergartens or don't attend kindergarten at all, and then do enter the public schools in the first grade. But we don't believe the numbers are large.
Mr. Reeder, just a minute. You need to state your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Brian Reeder, Department of Education.
Thank you.
As a follow-up.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Then how, I guess maybe to ask the question a different way, how many school districts do not offer kindergarten?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, all districts are required by state law to offer kindergarten.
And okay. That was Mr. Pat Burke speaking.
I'm sorry. Pat Burke, Department of Education.
Thank you. Remember, we have people out in TV land and everywhere listening in. So
the legislature made that change several years ago. All districts are required to offer kindergarten. Mandatory attendance age does not compel attendance at kindergarten, and there are 46 districts by our count that offer some form of all-day kindergarten out of 198 school districts.
I'm sorry, how many?
197. We closed one. But 197 school districts. 46 offer some form of all-day kindergarten.
Oh, okay, that was...
And we should point out that the districts that offer all-day kindergarten are not necessarily offering that in every one of their schools, but there are at least 46 districts where all-day kindergarten is an option.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Cruz?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. A couple questions, and just, for example, if a school has an all-day kindergarten and a parent wants their child to attend half day, how does that work? Because the curriculum would be set up for all day, wouldn't it? I mean, so how do you do only part of that? I mean, just structurally, how does that work?
Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, I think that just as in all issues with our local districts, I think it's, the local school boards and superintendents would work with parents on what the needs are in the district and would probably work with parents on trying to accommodate their needs for their children. And so there probably would, in some of the districts in the stats that Pat just referred to, there are some cases where there's only one school in the district that has the full-day option for parents and the others have half-day programs. So you might see districts do a combination of that to try to accommodate both needs.
Okay. And Madam Chair, my biggest concern with this still is, and I know the superintendent said that without this, it's nothing but losers, but I still think we're set up for a system of winners and losers, whether it's the high-growth districts or the small rural districts that are absolutely struggling, and it would be my hope that we almost need to have a plan to deal with capital needs on the front end of this so that everybody could be winners, and that's my problem with this is I haven't seen that capital plan, and I know the superintendent talked about some remedies that may be coming through this session, but those remedies are pointed to high growth districts. They aren't pointed to the small rural districts that really don't have a whole lot of cap room or any other options that are out there. And the only remedy they're going to get if they have infrastructure needs are going to come from this building. And I haven't seen that yet, and so that's my discomfort at this point.
Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, I understand there's some legislation in the works. We have growing revenue from the lottery. It's very, very healthy right now, and I know that there is an interest by some to maybe pull a little money off of the increasing revenues from the lottery to try to provide the very districts some that you're talking about some help with their capital needs. There are some solutions I know that are in the works in this building, and I would be more than interested in working with you on trying to see how we can be successful in some of those solutions.
Follow up.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would welcome that. Lottery is a catch-all for everything, and the feeding frenzy there is always vigorous. So, but I'm be more than happy to work with the department on seeing if we can craft something there. But quite simply, the political will in this building to deal with the part of Oregon that's outside the Willamette Valley sometimes is lacking. So there is a challenge there.
Any other questions from the committee? Mr. Burke, you look like you'd like to answer that question.
Not necessarily. Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, I agree with the concern, but I would also like to point out that regardless of full-day or half-day kindergarten, the capital needs are there,
yes,
particularly in our growing districts. So setting aside kindergarten, we still have to find a solution to the capital needs problem, and perhaps these could be solved together.
And I would agree with that.
And Senator Metzger, we had a capital construction working group in our Senate Commission on Educational Excellence.
Yeah, we have that package, and I talked to the superintendent about that and made sure she was aware of that. And I think that is, again, one of the solutions that we have floating in the building. And I think, as Mr. Burke and Senator Cruz pointed out, they were designed to help accommodate the kindergarten question and others. But regardless, the needs are there, regardless of what we do on those issues. And I just hope that whether... I think there's some good work that was put into the commission's work on the capital needs. I'm confident that some of those elements will be part of our final product, maybe not all. There are other ideas out there. But then again, a rising tide, you know, raises all boats, and if everybody's focused on it, I'm hopeful that we will make some advancements in the capital needs by the end of this session.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm hoping that at least one or two of you stick around in case we have other questions, because I know the superintendent probably has things to do. All right. Ms. Vicki Phillips, did you want to come up by yourself, or did you have folks you were... Okay, great. If you just want to state for the record and make sure you spell... so people know Vicki is spelled the right way.
Spelled the right way. Good morning. My name is Vicki Phillips, V-I-C-K-I-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. I'm the superintendent in Portland Public Schools in my third year there. And I've sort of been adjusting my testimony as I go. One, because you're going to hear a number of familiar refrains, and I certainly want to hit those highlights. But two, I'd like an opportunity to actually answer from a different perspective some of the questions that you posed a moment ago about facilities and other ways that this might happen. So I want to start just by saying thank you to all of you. I can't tell you how refreshing it is to be in the context in Oregon right now in which school children are sort of the forefront of our conversations, and we very much appreciate the governor's budget, the coalition work that's going on, the work in the legislature, and Portland in particular owes you a great debt of gratitude for the and our local citizens for the stability that we're enjoying in our budget this year. And we all know the hard work and the challenges and the tough decisions that sit before you as you think about how to manage competing and often worthy needs where our schools are concerned. But I want to add my voice to that you've just heard about the benefits of full-day kindergarten. We all know there are sort of no magic bullets out there for how we close the achievement gap and accelerate learning for all children, but we do know that there are some leverage that pay much larger dividends than others. And I want to not only advocate for the full-day kindergarten piece and the current bill in front of you, but for Oregon over the next few years paying a great deal of attention to the full package on early childhood. there is no more important investment than we can make than to make sure that all of our at-risk four-year-olds have an opportunity for high-quality preschool, whether that's in their home through programs with their parents or in school districts or with other providers. There's no more important work that we can do than extend the time for a child's learning in those early years when they learn most rapidly and when they can absorb the most. And full-day kindergarten makes a huge difference in a child's ability in those first years and to their early success in school. And again, there's the need to lower class size in those early grades, K to 3, to a place that where kids can get the time and attention they need from teachers. And the benefits that you've heard already and that you're going to hear from other people today are certainly there in not only in the research and the work that's been done over 30 years of early childhood work, but I can say that I've witnessed those firsthand. First, in a school district of 217,000 students that was largely urban, then in a district of 12,500 that was on the state's distress list, and we had to work to pull that district back academically. Then as the state secretary for 1.6 million students that was spread across rural and urban districts alike, including many of the small districts that we're concerned about, and now in Portland with about 46,000 students. And I can attest firsthand to the kind of benefits that full-day kindergarten provides, not just in terms of the student outcomes that you heard earlier around the students that are more likely to graduate on time, more likely to need less costly intervention, more likely to succeed long-term in school, more likely to leave kindergarten beginning to read and write well and with a successful start, and more likely to begin to close that achievement gap, but also to the economic benefits. And I'll give you an example. When I went to my first superintendency in a district that was very high poverty, largely minority student district, I had literally 23% of my fifth graders that qualified for special education. And given how the federal government funds special education, you know that it is woefully short of what is required. So we were investing huge amounts in special education. After working on full-day kindergarten and other early childhood efforts in those early years of the tenure there, we actually reduced that number to 14% at fifth grade, at 7% at fourth grade, and virtually no students needing those more intensive services in the early years because we worked hard to keep our class sizes at a good place to move to full-day kindergarten and to develop programs for our at-risk students. That, on the end, is a huge cost savings for districts in the long run and a huge economic benefit for the overall school program. So I've had that opportunity, as I said, to sort of witness firsthand and not only to see the economic benefit, but to see the direct benefit to children. So again, in the past district I was in, I literally saw a district in which 2 out of every 10 kids came into full-day kindergarten without the prerequisite skills they needed to be good beginning readers and writers. And at the end of full-day kindergarten, not just with more time, but if you put that tool in our hands, then as districts we have to work more intensively around professional development and strategies and the expectations we hold of our students. But we raised our standards just like we're raising them in Portland, and by the end we saw 9 out of every 10 kids going forward into first grade on time, on standard, against much higher standards and as beginning readers and writers. And even though we raised the academic goals for our students, we still made sure that they were active, caring, confident learners, had plenty of time to learn those social and behavioral skills that we also want them to acquire. As the state secretary in Pennsylvania, I had the opportunity to be part of Pennsylvania's block grant, which, much like what the coalition is recommending, actually proposed a menu of items that school districts could choose from. And I came away from that work convinced more than ever that early childhood education ought to be fully funded in the ways that I just described, because in the first year of that block grant, literally 80% of the school districts across the state, those that were very small and rural to those that were larger and urban, picked the early childhood items off the menu because they so desperately wanted the benefits that accrued to them. And we had the same kinds of discussions about facilities and other issues. And you know, not just this state, but other schools across the state where their facilities are growing older or where enrollment is rapidly growing face the same kinds of conditions that we do. And what we found is that people got incredibly creative when the dollars were there for them to provide the opportunity. And what we saw happen were partners banding together in a community and finding space for a preschool or full day kindergarten program. Not in every instance. It wasn't always possible, but you would be surprised at the kind of clever and imaginative strategies that communities came up with when they actually had the opportunity to fund for their earliest learners. And we saw everything from locker rooms to other things converted in schools to other buildings used as a early childhood center as part of the community work that where communities and school districts came together. So many creative options abound, and I think at least making a first start in this work where we offer the opportunity to all those districts that want to pick it up and where we continue over the years to address our capital needs is the right way to be thinking about this work, because waiting until everything is perfect, we sometimes can't let the perfect get in the way of the good moves that we need to be making. And I appreciate the fact that you're thinking about this and working on all those fronts.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. And I have a couple of questions and comments, actually. First of all, I'm glad you mentioned the accountability block grants, because I wanted to thank you and your staff, Eileen, I see sitting in the second row, for working with our commission that Senator Metzger co-chaired on that issue. And as you know, it fit real nicely into the school improvement fund. And we sort of merged those two concepts, and the kindergarten concept with the block grant and the school improvement fund, to allow that as a menu of options for districts. Now, tell us how that doesn't help your district, because I know it's not really going to be beneficial, but explain that to the committee.
Sure. Right now, in Portland, 57 of 58 of our schools actually offer full-day kindergarten. The problem with that is that, as Secretary Castile testified a moment ago, it's in all kinds of variations. Some are parent-paid. Some are paid by us in the highest poverty schools with Title I dollars. So the district cannot pay for full-day kindergarten across the whole district, because we can't afford at this moment the dollars to do so. And if we use even a portion of the improvement fund to do that, it supplants our Title I dollars, and we end up not being able to offer it in Title I schools. So for us, it would either need to continue to be using our Title I dollars for our highest poverty schools and continuing to do parent paid and other programs. And I will just say that our parents pay $265 a month for tuition in full day K and non-Title I schools. We still have 11% of our programs that are half day and would continue to offer some half day opportunities for parents who want that half day rather than the full day. The secretary was right. Districts manage to make many of those accommodations tougher, certainly in smaller districts, but many districts can make those accommodations. And I will just say that my experience before with full day is that once offered and parents see the benefit, the demand for half day significantly diminishes over time.
Let me get this, make sure that I understand this, because sure, it's a little unfair, it seems like. So if we were to give you this menu of options and we adequately fund school improvement fund, which we've just got to do, or it's not going to help our districts at all, but you decide in your district, okay, we'll take this money, the grant money from the state, and we're going to offer all day kindergarten. So then you have to
have enough money to offer full day across the whole district,
across
out of my
all
general,
58 districts,
across all schools, again within my general fund dollars, or I can't offer it. I can't just put it through Title I dollars in my Title I schools, because if you're using Title I dollars to fund something, then you can't be funding it also with general ed dollars, because that's considered supplanting. Right?
Okay.
So I need to be able to fund full day kindergarten across the whole district out of my general ed fund. Mm-hmm. because to use the Title I dollars that I already have and say, I'll use the menu now to fully fund the rest, means I can't use my Title I dollars, and it puts my highest poverty schools at risk for not being able to offer full day.
Because or you have 58 school districts, which is or 58 schools, I'm sorry, that you can do that with. That's huge.
Right.
You're probably, are you the largest school district in the state?
We are.
And
we're the largest in the Northwest, actually.
That's a big challenge. And I think Salem-Keizer is probably the second largest, and then you go down from there. I'm not sure all school districts in the state have that same problem that you're talking about.
Right, and I think that one of the values in the bill is making it a full weight so that districts can take, and leaving it voluntary so that school districts can choose. Some districts may be able to off the menu, use those dollars and want to use it for early childhood education. Other districts, particularly where it's high poverty, and I don't think it's just Portland and it's not just our size. You will run into this problem in some other districts that have higher poverty actually than we do that are using Title I funds for this now and would either need to be able to blanketly offer full day across the whole district or put at risk the use of the Title I dollars.
All right. Thank you for that explanation. Senator Metzger has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just kind of comment on Superintendent Phillips's comments because I think this is an issue that we dealt with our commission work, the Education Commission, in discussing those different issues, because in my district I have the same situation, Hood River, which offers full-day kindergarten but uses Title I dollars. And so under the draft before us, by using the state school fund, basically it just takes money off the table because they couldn't use then the Title I dollars, and they'd be and the school fund distribution that they would use for other activities, you know, would now be diluted. And which is why we looked at the school improvement fund as a separate and distinct from the formula dollars, so that schools like yours or like Hood River, who had those programs, could still maximize the use of their resources, maybe use grants for other things, whether it's, you know, vocational training or other things that to add to the menu of opportunities without threatening some of the existing dollars that you would have an option of utilizing.
Actually, what would happen in Hood River, I think, would be the same thing that would happen in Portland if this bill passed and kindergarten were full weight. We would offer full-day kindergarten under it. It would allow us to use some of the money we receive in the school improvement more strategically for some other things we also need, and it would allow us to take our Title I dollars that we're now spending on full-day and place it at other high needs areas. And, you know, so it's always how do you balance those things out.
And the key then, I would, from what I gather what you're saying, is to that point, which is making sure that we maintain the flexibility to utilize all those resources and not try to constrain them too much.
Yes, and I think what happens is you're beginning to have a really synergistic package here where if we move to a point where full day was a full weight and districts could decide, they would have the option of off the menu or as a full weight or, you know, doing it as a full weight and then choosing other things off the menu that are going to continue to help improve student outcomes. And, you know, most districts in this state continue, despite our best efforts, to be constrained. And offering those arrays of flexibility would be, I think, a welcome thing to many of us.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions? No. I so appreciate that you came down today.
Thank you very much.
Always
thank you for your time. It's an important issue.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm going to hear from a couple of principals, Jeremy Ferlin and Brenda Lewis. If you just both come up at the same time. And just state your name from the record and where you're from, and that'd be great.
Okay. My name is Jeremy Furlan. I'm the principal at River Road Elementary School in Eugene, Oregon.
In my district.
That's
welcome.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
I'm Brenda Lewis. I'm principal at Beaver Acres Elementary in Beaverton, Oregon.
Great. I know where that school is, too. So who would like to go first?
I'll go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Chair Walker and honorable members of the committee, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address this committee. I'm here to talk to you about the beneficial effects of full-day kindergarten on student achievement. I've been the principal at River Road El Camino del Rio Elementary in Eugene, Oregon over the past 3 years. Our school is a K-5 school with 335 students. 87% of our students qualify for free and reduced lunch. 20% of our students qualify for English language learner services. 20% qualify for special education programs, and 45% are minority. Last year, over 90% of our third, fourth, and fifth grade students met benchmark in reading, and over 87% of our third, fourth, and fifth grade students met benchmark in math. It is our feeling that our full-day kindergarten program has really laid the foundation work for these students to be successful and really ready for middle school, high school, and life beyond. We've had full-day kindergarten at our school for the past 5 years. Over half of the group comes from Head Start. We have four full-day kindergartens, each staffed with a full-time teacher and an instructional assistant, and the class size is roughly 20 students per class. We use Title I dollars to fund half of our full-day kindergarten currently, and this uses about two-thirds of our Title I budget. On average, about 15% of our students come in at grade level for kindergarten, and by the end of the year, over 75% leave at grade level, including IEP students and English language learner students. We use DIBELS, Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Literacy, to track students' progress in early literacy, and we intervene when we see problems. Our kindergarten is highly focused on academics, and our students receive 2.5 hours of instruction per day in reading, an hour of instruction in math, and an hour of instruction in science and writing. And we also teach social skills, art, social studies through our curriculum. Our goal is to have our students, regardless of background, ready for first grade. And our program is incredibly popular in the district, and each year we turn away a long list of non-neighborhood parents because of lack of room for their children in our program. We believe funding full-day kindergarten statewide is a step in the right direction for Oregon. A strong kindergarten program provides the foundation that kids need to be successful in school. If students are given the extra opportunity to learn, student achievement will increase. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perlon. We'll hear from Ms. Lewis, and then we'll ask you both questions.
Okay. Madam Chairperson and honorable members, I have been an elementary principal in the Beaverton School District for 12 years. I represent 37,000 students, 31 elementary schools, 11 of which are Title I schools, and Beaver Acres is a Title I school. I would like to commend you for considering proposing an option for full-day kindergarten for the state of Oregon. Prior to moving to Oregon, I came from a state and I had 17 years as a teacher and as a principal in a state which provided full-day kindergarten and a 22-to-1 teacher-student ratio from kindergarten to fourth grade. I was a first-grade teacher when we moved to 22-to-1, and the state invested heavily in that project. One of the big concerns was capacity issues and capital improvements. However, once they put into place the 22-to-1, the communities across the state readily supported lower class sizes and passed bonds to build instructional capacity state places for kids and increase the size of our school campuses. I can attest to the academic and social and developmental growth in students who have the opportunity to begin their educational careers in a full-day program compared to those that don't. I've seen that coming from a state with full-day kindergarten to a state with half-day. And I know that, as some of the speakers before have remarked, closing the achievement gap is of paramount importance, particularly with children who come from homes of poverty. Beaverton is a large district. I think it's the third largest district in the state, and we have huge capacity issues, as you know, at this time. I do believe that the possibility of offering a full-day kindergarten program as an option, as well as looking at class size issues, will have the support of our community in building additional instructional spaces for children through capital dollars, either at the local level with support from the state or not. I support Senate Bill 213, making full-day kindergarten an option for districts. I understand the question about can Oregon board to provide the option of full-day kindergarten. But I think the real question is, can Oregon not provide full-day kindergarten so that we can put our students on equal par with many other states who are already offering full-day kindergarten programs? Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Mr. Furlong this question, because in your testimony you indicated that over half of your kindergarten group comes out of the Head Start program.
Yes.
Does the Eugene School District fully fund its Head Start program at this point, or do they need more money to do that?
It's not fully funded at this point.
So
more resources would be helpful.
Well, and so that gets me to ask you both this question. If we just have limited dollars, would you think there would be more? I mean, granted, both these programs are great, but will you get more bang for your buck if you fully fund Head Start instead of giving all-day kindergarten to districts?
I don't know the answer to
that
question.
You don't know the answer to that.
I have an opinion.
Well, opinions are good.
I wholly support Head Start. We had a Head Start classroom in our building for many years until, due to capacity issues, they had to move out. I think that you cannot, and as you know, Head Start is a half-day program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can compare a full-day kindergarten experience for a student versus a half-day Head Start program. I think the full-day kinder, you would get more bang for your buck. I also envision, for schools that have Title I funds, such as our school, I envision that currently many of us are using Title I dollars for extended day kindergarten, of which I do have 3 extended day kindergarten classrooms. I also am in my second year of a half-day pre-kindergarten funded by Title I. If I were to get additional funds from the state to support full-day kindergarten, I would use my Title I funds to start half-day pre-kindergarten sessions for my students. So I see that that's a potential partnership, as we currently have with Head Start. We do work with Head Start to identify students for our pre-K program as well as for Head Start programs, as well as working with Washington County ESD and looking at early intervention programs for students. So I think that the question about supplanting Title I dollars is a valid question. You can't provide full-day kindergarten for schools that don't have Title I funds. It would be district-wide as an option for the district. However, I do envision that you would start to see more Title I federal dollars flow down to pre-K programs, working in conjunction with Head Start and partnering, perhaps.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Oh. Good. That's good to hear. Okay, well, I appreciate your testimony, and I appreciate what you're both doing in your school districts. I know you have a high-growth district, Ms. Lewis. I don't know how you keep up with it.
We have 14 portable classrooms at my campus alone.
Oh, man.
Over 800 students.
Oh, my word. I can't even fathom that. It's hard enough to keep track of my kids and my dog when my kids are grown-ups. And Mr. Furlong, you've done a great job at River Road El Camino. Thank you for what you're doing, both of you. I appreciate your testimony. All right. We are going to hear from a parent. I think that would be cool. Cindy Greger. Just state your name from the record and tell us what part of the state you're from.
Yes,
you
good morning. I am Cindy Greger. I am in the Westland-Wilsonville School District. I live in Westland. I am actually originally from Kentucky, and I don't know if you're familiar with the recent strides that Kentucky has made toward education, but it's been pretty amazing what they've done and how the children have been able to raise their scores nationally. And I have to admit, I was a little bit embarrassed this morning. I was telling my sister where I was coming, and she said, "You mean they don't provide full-day kindergarten?" And so I said, "No, actually, we don't." But I'm here to tell you why I think it's important that we do. I am a married mother of a 9-year-old boy and 3-year-old twins. And my background, I'm a CPA, right now full-time mom, a little part-time side business, and a member of the PTA board in our district. When my first child, Ryan, was to begin kindergarten, my husband and I wrestled with the decision about whether to send him to full-day or half-day kindergarten. And, you know, part of it was he's our only child at the time, and, you know, do we really want him to start this school experience that's going to go on for a long time? Were we ready to give him up? But the most important thing was that we want him to have the best possible education and preparation for his school career. My husband actually and I are both CPAs, and the kind of people that do due diligence in just about every decision that we make when it's an important decision. So when it came time to make this decision, we went out and interviewed principals of both public and private schools. We spoke with kindergarten teachers. We spoke with other parents who had children entering kindergarten at the same time our son was, and who also had older children who had already been through the kindergarten experience. And we approached this decision by first saying, what is it that kindergarten is supposed to achieve for our son? And it is to prepare him for the first grade. We believe that full-day kindergarten allowed him to have the opportunity to have continuity on projects, to have lunch with friends, to have the socialization, learn to clean up, play together, not feel rushed. When making the comparison with the half-day kindergarten, all we sensed was there was a rush in to get everything in. And while the full-day and half-day curriculums are the same, full-day allowed time to solidify the instruction, to research, ask questions, and to look at a topic in more depth. It allowed for more natural transition time from activity to activity rather than the rush to get everything in. And when learning letters and writing, this was particularly important to us. Children, and I see it now with my twins that are 3 and a half. I try to teach them, you know, let's draw a triangle. We did it yesterday. Boy, you would think you could just pick up a, you know, and draw a triangle. But it's a real effort to, it's like an art work of art when they're doing it. So to have the time when you're being instructed on how to create letters or form words, to be able to have the time to actually work on that is very important. It takes time, I guess I wrote here, it takes time to discover just how to move the pencil across the paper to create that. When they go on learning field trips, the half-day classes primarily go on the field trip, and they go home, and that's their event for the day. The full-day classes had the opportunity to discuss what they had done, where they had visited, perhaps work on a project about it to solidify what they had learned. And in full-day kindergarten, students have time to work on projects that make it possible for them to use their learned skills. Application of reading, writing, and math skills, for example. My son's kindergarten class did a special segment on ocean and sea life, and I learned so much from that. In full-day kindergarten, they were able to apply what they had learned to create their own ocean model, working together in groups. Plus, they had a music class that focused on songs that taught them about the sea life. I know more about the clownfish and sea anemone from that than I thought I would ever want to know. But anyway, it helped the students solidify what they learned through music and having the time to offer that type of class. Now, some children go to preschool and some don't. If they did attend preschool, the preschool curriculum varies. One of the key attributes of kindergarten is that it creates a level playing field, a chance for those not having attended preschool to catch up, and for those who may have attended preschool to make new friends and acclimate to a more academic environment. When asked to come and give testimony this morning, I did a little bit, I didn't have a lot of time, but did a little bit of research and found an article. This is according to a review on full-day kindergarten published in the Elementary School Journal, titled A Review and Critique of Research on Full-Day Kindergarten. The conclusion was that the review of the research comparing full-day and half-day kindergarten was encouraging regarding the effects of full-day kindergarten, and I quote the article, "Particularly impressive is the fact that rarely are differences found in favor of half-day classes. Rather, the consistent trend is either full-day program confirmation or no difference. The bottom line is that there was stronger support in all of the research for the full-day classes." I believe that anyone would be hard-pressed to conclude that a half-day kindergarten is better for the children. It seems actually criminal to me that a child's family economic status can prevent their child from getting the best access to education and having the opportunity to begin first grade on an equal footing with his classmates. My husband and I were fortunate enough that we did not suffer a detrimental financial impact in choosing the full-day kindergarten option, which actually is now $370 a month in our school district. Having said that, now, as the parent of twins, we are faced with having to make a choice because of the financial impact of sending two children at once to kindergarten. A cost of $740 a month for both of them. Sadly, while I have already done all the legwork, the research, to know unequivocally that my children would be so much better off with full-day kindergarten, I may not be able to send them because of the cost. As a kind of a side note, I guess, I also have a difficult time reconciling this at $340 a month, $370 a month for the extra 3 hours of time. It seems like to me that is a pretty expensive 3 hours. It also seems to me that because we have to make an extra midday bus run that take the half-day kindergartners home, it's being borne by the parents who have their children staying for the full day, even though their children don't require an extra bus run. And I, for one, would rather not be paying for that extra bus run that I'm not benefiting from. Perhaps if we considered the cost for the extra bus run, we'd see a decrease in the total amount needed for full-day kindergarten. And I know it's a small amount, but still, making it possibly more affordable for everyone. But the bottom line that I wanted to get across is that the best choice for our children is to have the option to attend full-day kindergarten. And economic status, a parent's ability to pay, should not be a factor in determining a child's opportunity to be on equal footing with his classmates entering the first grade. We should provide the best possible launch for our children's academic journey, and that launch happens in kindergarten.
Thank you, Ms. Greger. Let me ask you this question, if I could, please. I did a survey of my district during the interim, and I think Senator Metzger included the same question on there. Do you favor all-day kindergarten, consider it a priority? Some of the responses I got back were kind of interesting, and I'd like to share one with you. One of the responses was, don't fund state-sponsored daycare. Now, that was the impression of this person, that all-day kindergarten is really state-sponsored daycare. But you just told me it's $370 a month for all-day kindergarten. I would say that if the same child was in daycare for that entire month, it would be a whole lot more than $370 a month, and I'm not sure they'd get the same quality of instruction, because you just across the board, you wouldn't find that in daycare.
Would you
agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that, and I actually feel like I've got quite a bit of experience with that. I was able to send my son to preschool. My twins right now, 2 days a week, go to preschool, where they're actually getting some pretty good academic instruction. But I've also had experience with, prior to them joining this preschool, a child care situation, which a very nice child care situation, but it's all social. They play in sandboxes. They don't get the academic instruction. So I don't consider it daycare at all. I consider that the kindergarten gives them the launch, as I said, that they need for beginning first grade. We have pretty high expectations these days of what our first graders should be able to do. And kindergarten gets them started on that.
All right. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? I appreciate your testimony. I appreciate
that you
came down, and hope you can call your sister and tell her you did a great job this morning.
Well, I hope I can tell her that I don't have to be embarrassed anymore.
All right. Thank you. I would like to hear from another parent who is here with a child, Jada and Ellen Pearson. I think it's time we heard it from the mouths of babes. And she's been ever so quiet in the back of the room. Senator Westland spotted her right away, though.
Thank you. Very, very nice picture. Thank you for drawing it for me.
Can you state your name for the record and tell us what town you live in? That would be great, so everybody knows where you're from.
Okay. My name is Jada Pearson. I'm from Beaverton. And this is my daughter, Ellen, who's going to be shy now. But she is a kindergartner at the same school that I teach kindergarten at. So she's in the classroom next door.
And the name of that school, Ellen, is what?
Fir Grove.
Fir Grove. Well, thank you for coming today.
Actually, I'm here to support Senate Bill 213. And what I started off with was asking Ellen. I said, Ellen, why would you like to go to full-day kindergarten? And do you remember what she told me?
Because I can learn more.
She said, I can learn so much more.
Can you pull the microphone down so we can get more of Ellen when she speaks? That'd be great.
Okay. Scary microphone, huh?
All right. Well, we can pull that back a little bit, Ellen. We just want to make sure that we hear what you have to say because it's really important. You are speaking for all the other kids in your class. They've chosen you to come today, so. But wow. You can tell your mom, and she can tell us, too, if you're afraid.
Okay. Well, because not only did she say, can I learn so much more, but we talked about how kindergarten lasts only 2.5 hours each day. During that time, students are expected to learn their literacy skills, reading, writing, spelling, mathematics, social studies, science, and health. Each of these subjects areas require more time than we can devote, and as a result, many important subjects are skimmed or skipped. There's not enough time to have students reflect on their learning or to solidify their skills. There are also subjects that have been deemed extras and therefore cut out of the kindergarten day. We don't have time for music and art and physical education, and these are necessary for teaching the whole child. Kindergarten is supposed to be the place where children are introduced to school and begin to love learning. Without time for these subjects, kindergarten has become a stressful learning environment. The academic expectations for kindergartners have increased dramatically over the 10 years that I've taught at this age level, yet the amount of time that I have my students has not increased at all. 4 years ago, my school district, Beaverton, tried to find ways to deal with the problem of struggling students, and a program was created to give some students at Title I schools a full day of kindergarten. The Kindergarten Intensive Intervention Program was designed to give the students with the lowest skills a boost in the areas of reading and writing and math, a focus on those areas. Although each school has a different implementation, most have been able to enroll about a fourth to a third of the students from the regular kindergarten classes. These students attend 3 extra hours of school 4 days a week. In my kindergarten classroom, I have 21 students, seven of whom are able to attend the KIPP program. The students who were enrolled in KIPP at the beginning of the year are showing marked progress. Many are on pace to meet our learning targets by the end of the year. Some of these students are new to the program. They only entered about a month ago. And my hope is that they'll be able to make that same amount of progress, but they have less time now in a full-day program. I have other students in my class that will not be able to enter the program and must meet the learning targets without the extra time necessary to develop the skills. They happened at the beginning of the year to show that they were a little bit above their peers, and now those who received the full-day program are soaring ahead of them. So they're kind of in that middle area. They weren't low enough, and now there's just no room for them. It's very, very sad. It's the same scenario that I witnessed last year, students receiving extra time in kindergarten, making remarkable progress, and those not receiving the extra time, finishing the year behind. Other benefits of full-day kindergarten is it would be nice to have the same teacher for the whole day. Right now, I teach an afternoon session, and one of my partners in my school teaches a morning session for those kids who need those extra skills. So they have two different teachers during the day, which I think makes it a little bit harder for the kids to make the same progress that they would make if they had the same teacher for the entire day. Another thing that would be important is I think we'd see more students attending public kindergarten as opposed to private daycare or kindergarten. Right now, my younger daughter attends a preschool where there are students who are there in the morning. They come to the public school for the afternoon, and then they go back in the afternoon. They're being bused back and forth. That's learning time. That's play time. That's time where kids can really be kids. And, you know, parents are also making the choice. It costs the same amount for their kids to stay at that daycare all day or to have them bused back and forth to the public school. So sometimes you ask yourself, is it worth it? Should I just have my kids stay in this daycare all day? So that's another one. I think it also would reduce the daycare time. And I think there'd be a better articulation from a 3-hour Head Start program if you had a full day of kindergarten rather than going backwards to 2.5 hours. Many preschool programs are already 3 hours or more. And then we look again at a 2.5-hour kindergarten program. Finally, kindergarten is the time for children to come to school and learn to love learning. It's the time for children to build a strong foundation of learning that will support them as lifelong learners. And full-day kindergarten will give students the time that they need to learn more. Do you want to say anything? No.
You know, maybe Senator Westland has a question for Ellen.
Oh, there we go.
Ellen? You drew a very nice picture, and we're going to put this in our office. And I was wondering, since you're such a good artist, what's your favorite part of school?
What is your favorite part of school?
Coloring.
I could tell that. Very good. Thank you for coming today. It's very important that you're here.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Ellen, how many children do you have in your kindergarten class? A lot? Or just some? Do you know?
21.
Oh, you know.
She knows.
21. That seems like a big class for a kindergarten class. Do you think it's too big? No?
No.
No. Well, good. And does your mom teach your class? You're not in your mom's class.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And we also have 21 in our class.
So isn't that kind of large for a kindergarten?
It is, family? And I have to say, a couple weeks ago, we had stomach flu running through our classroom. And for 4 days, I had less than 20 kids in my classroom, and I've decided 16. Sure seems like a nice number. I could actually, because I don't always have an assistant. Sometimes we have parents. Sometimes we have assistants who come in. But at 16, I felt I could really get to all my tables. I had 4 kids at every table,
uh-huh.
And I could really get to all the kids and meet their needs. So,
well, I know I shot a TV commercial in a kindergarten classroom during the interim, and it was kind of fun. There was this little half-moon table where the teacher gets to sit in the middle, and you can talk to each of the students, and oh, that was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. The chair was kind of small. I felt like Goldilocks.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, thank you. Any other questions from the committee? All right.
Madam,
yes.
Just a comment. I know I speak for the entire panel and everyone in the room. When I say, Ellen, I think you're one of the most polite and well-behaved young ladies for your age that I've ever seen.
Thank you.
I think that has a lot to do with your mommy.
Thank you.
And thank you
thank
both.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll go back to hearing from some principals again. Let's see, Karen Twain and Kristen Hardinge. Hopefully I did that correctly. I'm going to save the only two people who are in the room who are opposed to this till the end.
Hi, I'm Karen Twain, and I brought two parents with me.
Oh,
so I invited
great.
Eldon Alik up here as well.
Eldon Alik, okay.
Alik,
okay, great. I think you're signed up here. There you are. Okay, terrific. Thank you.
And I'm going to let my parents go first, if that's okay.
Sure.
Hello, my name is Kristen Hardinge, and I am a parent. I have two children that attend Metzger Elementary School in Tigard. My daughter is in the third grade, and my son is in full-day kindergarten. I work 3 days a week as a veterinarian, so both of my children had gone to daycare and preschool before entering elementary school. I think the full-day kindergarten program has been a wonderful experience for my son, and I'd like to see that opportunity available to all students. When my daughter attended kindergarten 3 years ago, it was only a half-day program. This meant that the children were only at school for 2.5 hours. And like you've heard some of the other parents and you know, our speaker just came up, by the time the kids get settled in, it's almost, you know, time to get ready for them to leave. With a full-day program, they're at school for 6 hours. And that allows extra time not only for reading and writing and math, but also for music and PE and library and computers. The entire kindergarten class in our school is working on the first grade reading program, and my son is already reading at the first grade level. In addition, they can delve much deeper into subjects. Recently, my son was learning about dinosaurs, and now they're learning about the solar system, and somebody else said they learned a lot more about oceans. Well, I've learned a lot more about those things than I thought I'd ever want to know, and songs about stegosauruses and such. So my son's excited about school, and when asked how he likes it, he says, "Kindergarten rocks." Now, as long as we can kind of keep up that enthusiasm and fuel the love of learning for all children. In addition to the academic advantages, the children grow socially as well. With a full-day program, they also have lunch and recess at school. There's such a broad range of experiences before public education begins at age 5. It can be a big transition to sitting in a classroom and walking quietly in the halls, eating lunch with classmates, and playing with other students at recess. For children who've not had this prior experience, it's very helpful for them to learn these skills in kindergarten. Even though both of my children had gone to a daycare center for years, I expect next year when my son starts in first grade, this will be a much easier transition as he's used to the routine and can adapt more quickly to the schedule. My husband and I felt that full-day kindergarten was an important program and offered such significant advantages, we were willing to pay for it if necessary. But for many families in our district, that would not be financially feasible. And honestly, those are probably the students who need it the most and would benefit the greatest from full-day kindergarten. When faced with difficult budget decisions surrounding education, there are so many worthwhile causes, but full-day kindergarten is a program that is beneficial to students across the board and gives all students a great foundation for education. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. White?
Hi. My name is Eldon Ali. I'm a father of three. I have a high school student that went through the same school, Mescal Elementary School. And I have a middle schooler that went through the same school. And I have a son now, Jacob. He's 5 years old. And all three of my kids, except my daughter, didn't attend any Head Start or preschool. My wife works during the day, and I worked during the night. So I'd come home, and I'd get him ready and send him to school. Or I'd take care of the little ones. I'm here to testify that the full-day kindergarten is by far my youngest son is advanced not only in his academic skills, but as well as his social skills, by far more than my other two older kids. And that's all. I hope you guys will consider having full-day kindergarten in our district.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And you've got children all over the spectrum. You're going to be parenting for a little while, aren't you? But trust me, it never ends. Mine are almost 29 and 27, and we still parent. So I appreciate your testimony, and I think we're going to now hear from the principal.
I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak on this morning about a topic that I and many of my colleagues are passionate about. My name is Karen Twain, and I'm principal of Metzger Elementary in the Tigard-Tualatin School District. Metzger is a school with about 600 students and qualifies as Title I because we have a poverty rate between 55 and 60% of our students. 38% of our population, roughly 240 students, do not speak English and qualify for the ELL Learner Program, where we have over 25 countries represented. I have been principal of the school for 4 years now, and we have been working hard for the accomplishments of our students, including most recently receiving the Closing Achievement Gap Award for the state. Last year, we were a finalist for the award and attended the banquet in the spring. We had the good fortune to hear what other schools were doing to make a difference in closing the achievement gap. Every elementary school who spoke had one thing in common. It was full-day kindergarten. Hearing this inspired our school to go back and review the research and literature on full-day programs, and it didn't take long to be sold on the idea. I approached my superintendent and other central office staff about implementing full-day kindergarten for all students. In my district, the other principals and I work as a team, and so I had to float the idea by them as well. The short of the story is that in 1 year, we went from one section of full-day kindergarten where families had to pay tuition, with some families receiving scholarships, to all students provided with the opportunity to have a full kindergarten program, 5 classrooms. By providing free full-day kindergarten to all students, it eliminated the have and have-nots. There are many parents who are living right on the poverty line, which already precludes their child from having a preschool experience because they cannot afford it. Head Start classes are often full before these families learn about this option. To exclude these same children from a full-day program would continue the cycle, which would not only be unfair, but also hurt the school in efforts to close the achievement gap. When we looked at the research, there was a heavy focus on schools with higher poverty rates and minority populations. Our school fell into this category, but I know that we have schools in the Tigard-Tualatin School District that have similar needs, even though they don't qualify for Title I support. Full-day kindergarten is beneficial for all kindergartners. There are students from all types of backgrounds that need the time to learn academics and how to behave in school situations. Trying to do this in 2.5 hours is nearly impossible. When I broached bringing full-day kindergarten to our district with the other principals, all 10 elementary schools wanted it, and with good reason. We use a variety of assessments in our district to measure where kids are academically. One such measure, as the other principal mentioned, is DIBELS, and we use this assessment 3 times a year. In the fall, our kindergarten scores were low, but when recently tested in the winter, our students had the highest rate of meeting benchmark in our district, with 93% of the children meeting the spring benchmark, not the winter, but the spring. We work hard in our reading program, but I'm sure that full-day kindergarten had something to do with these scores. Additionally, when the students came in the fall, many of them could not stand in a line, sit in a chair, follow multi-step directions, or do other tasks that are related to success in school. We have seen a big difference earlier in their behavior, relationships, and ability to do schoolwork. Full-day kindergarten does not come without a cost. In order to add full-day kindergarten for all 10 schools in our district, we would need to hire 18 additional teachers, and the total cost would be $1.4 million.
Okay, I need you to repeat that figure because this is the first time we've had a reality check today on cost. So can you give that to us again?
You betcha. We need to hire 18 additional teachers. This is in 10 schools. And the total cost would be $1.4 million.
All right. Thank you.
And that's figured, I don't have it in my testimony, but that's figured based on, we use an average salary that includes the benefits and all that, and that's at $80,000. So that's how we come up with that total.
And you're a small school district.
Yeah, we come somewhere, I think, after Beaverton. We're probably, I don't know. Maybe the fourth or fifth.
Okay.
So we're probably, you know, towards the upper part.
All right. Thank you.
It is currently not financially feasible to do this without state support. We would also need classroom space, curriculum, and materials. For our district, the other principals were willing to take reductions at their schools so Metzger could add 2.5 full-day sections of full-day kindergarten. Needless to say, this is not something that can continue for the long term without financial support. The most likely place to take a cut in order to provide full-day kindergarten for everyone would be in the area of class size. This would be a hard sell to many people and set up a circumstance that is patently wrong. It forces districts or schools into an either-or situation. We have become adept at making difficult decisions in education, particularly in relation to the budget. However, to ask me to decide about full-day kindergarten, which I believe will have an impact on these students for the rest of their educational career, and other important initiatives like lowering class size, is not something that I or anyone can easily do. Senate Bill 213 is well crafted. This is a nice intermediary step, both financially and philosophically, for our state to take. For schools that are seeing the results in either their own district or in other districts, they can choose to offer full-day kindergarten to all of their students and have a way to pay for it. This lessens the impact on school districts in our state and sends out a message that we understand and value the difference that giving a child a positive beginning to their education can make for the rest of their lives. That's all I have on my written testimony, but if it's okay, I wanted to add a couple points after listening to your questions.
Okay.
And that is, I heard Superintendent Phillips mention that there are creative solutions to solving the space issue, and I know that that's one of the biggest barriers. It was for us.
Yeah.
Two things about that. I'm a former special ed teacher, and I know that one of the things I learned in teaching children with disabilities is that if we waited for point A, we might never get to point B. And that's not to say that we should move forward recklessly, but we have been taught as educators to think out of the box, and that's very much what my school district and my school did. Every classroom was filled when we put full-day kindergarten in. So our school looks different than it did last year. And we've kind of cut up some space and put people, they weren't happy about it, by the way, but we did it. And we've made room for those kids. It wasn't easy, but we did it. So I know it just takes sometimes some alternative thinking and ways to get around that. The other thing I wanted to mention, I wasn't at all surprised by some of what your parents may have said when you surveyed them. We didn't survey our family. Well, we did after we'd made the decision. but I had five families who held out of about 100 kids. And they all wrote very passionate letters about why they thought it was not a great idea. And most of the thoughts, well, I heard the daycare thing, but I also heard my kid is not developmentally ready. He or she still takes naps. You know, he's still a baby. And so we put it out there. I said to those parents, look, that's okay. If you want to send them for whatever portion of the day, we'll give you the schedule, and you decide. If you want them to come for 2 hours, that's okay with me. You want them to come for 4 hours, that's all right. So each of those five families made the decision, and it wasn't more than a week or two into school. They said, my kid's coming home, and they want to be there the whole day. And I thought about having one of those parents come down because their letters were very much to the contrary. Mm-hmm. But they are all parents who are completely sold on it. We had two families who choiced out to one of our other elementary schools who had half-day programs. They've choiced back. So it just takes time. It is. I have a kindergartner myself and a second grader, and I get the hesitation. But once you see it happening, there's no more proof than what's before your eyes, which is these kids are soaring. And it makes a huge difference. So I think if, again, we can be creative in our solutions, I think we can get there. And we're not forcing people to do this. We're saying it's an option, and we'll help you do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you say that because Jerry Colonna was on our commission, and he's superintendent of Beaverton, and they did voluntary kindergarten as well and had the same experience. Parents were so resistant, and I didn't get the daycare thing from just one
I heard the same
person. I got it from quite a few.
Yes.
And not only that, just, you know, my child's not ready, yada, yada, yada. But Jerry said that when they offered it, it changed. And so it would be really helpful if you could get at least one of those five parents to write a letter to the committee.
So sure.
We can hear from them mm-hmm. how they had resisted and appreciated the change.
Yeah,
but you did, you know, touch on the question that we have, and I think it is a Faustian choice, and it's do we invest in Head Start or lowering class sizes? And lowering class sizes, that was one of the other questions that I asked people on my survey, and that was rated up there as a high priority. We can't do both if you don't have the investment in the capital construction, and you already indicated you have to add 18 teachers,
mm-hmm.
and you need classroom space to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everyone wants us to save the world.
Right.
Right now, this session in 2007, we can take a big leap, but I'm not so sure that we can save the world in 2007, but, you know, we're sure going to try.
I understand, and I think that's what's interesting about this bill. It's not saying we're going to have everybody in the whole state do this.
Right.
This is something in the middle. There's some choice involved, and you know, in some of the smaller districts or rural districts, it may not be that there's a true choice, but when I sit down to do budget with our teams, there you have to make difficult choices. And so we talk about lots of things, you know, not just class size, but programs at the high school. And that was an interesting thing, too. I had to get buy-in from our high school administrators and our middle school administrators. And even they said, we're going to take the leap. We believe that it'll save time and money down the road to get these kindergartners going right now. I think somebody, I think it was Superintendent Phillips, who talked about the difference in special ed and how many kids mm-hmm. get qualified. If we can get them when they're young, it does. It makes a huge difference. It saves resources and time and money down the, you know, mm-hmm. down the road in whatever grade.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, I still think that whole idea of thinking out of the box, it can be done. We just have to push ourselves a little bit. And in terms of class size, that will always come up. We have to get class size to a place that really makes a difference. It's not about hovering between 24 and 22. If we're going to do something about class size, it's got to be pretty significant. We have to at least keep it at a cap where it's reasonable. But
where they each have a desk.
Right, right, exactly.
Be nice that you can walk through.
Yeah, so we were still, even with this, able to keep class size where it was at, but we did have to cut some other things.
Yeah, all right, thank you. I think Senator Cruz has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just an opinion.
We have lots of those.
No.
I'm interested to hear.
From a principal, somebody on the ground. I have a district that is currently half-time K, and the class size is around 13, 14, something like that. For them to go to full day K, it would mean they'd have 28 or 30 kids in a class just because that's mm-hmm. that's all they can do. which is better? I mean, clearly, yeah. I mean, that's...
It depends what age level you're talking about. 28 or 30 kindergartners is too many.
Well, Madam Chair, but that's my point. Are they better off in that scenario to have the smaller class size and do a half day mm-hmm. rather than have this monstrous class size and do full day?
Well, you have to do the math. It depends on how many sections they have and so forth. But as I said, we went from 2.5 sections to 5 sections, so that's adding 2.5 teachers. And our class size went up a little bit, but not by much. So that's the thing. When you figure it out, that's significantly lower if you have 13 or 14 kids in a class. But depending on how many sections you have of it, I would wager that it wouldn't go up that high. You're probably talking more like, 16 or 17 as you spread it out. So it just kind of depends how many classrooms you're dividing into that. And if that was the choice, if I went from, 13 and 14 to still staying under 20, I'd do full-day kindergarten.
Well, Madam Chair, in some districts, that's not the choice. It's they have a classroom.
Right, there's one.
There's one classroom. And,
I understand.
And they're dividing the population and doing half-day.
Mm-hmm.
If to go to full-day, it's still one classroom, but everybody's there. I guess I'd like to be informed as to if the quality, because clearly that for the teacher to get around and do everything needed to be done with something that size becomes problematic, I would think.
And well, if there's, I'm trying to understand as well, if there's one section, let's say you have 15 kids, you're not going to add any kids, it'll still be the same amount of kids in that classroom. And then, but you're adding half a day to it. So it's still one teacher. It's still however many kids. You're just adding some FTE. You're adding half a day to that person's salary.
Well, no, in this case, no. It's a full FTE. They just have two classes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so you are adding one more classroom.
Well, no, we don't have a classroom to add. We don't have any building space. We have one teacher that's teaching kindergarten, and they've divided them up into two classes so that mm-hmm. they can actually get around and deal with all of the students.
So they teach a morning class and
an afternoon class. And if they, their choice would be to go to a full day program, but it's still one teacher with twice the number of kids.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, again, for us, we didn't have the space either. That's the only way I can answer it. And we just makeshift space. It'd be interesting to come visit sometime if you ever had the opportunity, and you'd see how we created some classrooms that we had no business being in the space that they're in, but we did. Yeah. And it worked out.
And closets.
Yeah.
Yes, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I recall you referenced that to bring all of the schools up in the district to full day would be a cost of $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
If this bill passes and we change the funding formula mm-hmm. to allow for full funding for full day, will, in fact, you move the district to full day, all the schools in the district?
I think there's a very good chance of that.
So, Madam Chair, just mm-hmm. a comment that it seems to me that this bill may or may not make a difference, depending on what the districts can do.
Mm-hmm.
And
We're still dealing with space issues, just like Senator Cruz said. So, and we might consider keeping some half-day options for parents who are just adamant against it. So I'm not sure we would do it, although I know there's a belief that it's a great idea, that we should. But it does, if a kid's there longer in the day, it costs more to have them there. And regardless of full day or not, it's a problem.
All right, thank you, and thank the parents for making
my pleasure.
Trip
I'm
down.
Glad they were able to come as well.
I appreciate it. Okay, we have three more people to testify, two who are opposed and one who isn't. So we'll hear for the one more in favor, and then we'll I know it's not I'm saving the bad people for last. It's that I'm saving you because you're bringing us back to reality.
I think the bad.
Yeah.
Reality's so, bad.
No.
Yeah.
We've had some really great, wonderful testimony today, colleagues, but the reality is this costs money and we need to know how much and what it impacts, and I think that's what our experts are going to tell us. So we'll hear from Randy Hitz from Portland State University, and then we'll finish up with Lori Wimmer Whalen and David Williams.
Madam Chair, so they're the bad guys then. Right. I want to know who they are so I can check them out here.
Yeah, they've got the black hats on. Yeah.
All right.
I like black.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Randy Hitz. I'm the Dean of the School of Education at Portland State University, but I'm here speaking on my own behalf.
Hey.
You have my written testimony. You'll receive that soon. Mostly what I do in that written testimony is just briefly summarize the research. I won't read that for you. I'm here because my own area of expertise is early childhood education. I taught kindergarten in Oregon, in Southern Oregon for a while, and also was the Oregon early childhood specialist for the Department of Education when we started the Oregon pre-kindergarten program.
I've
been away from the state for a while. We came back 6 months ago, and we're thrilled to be home.
We always come back.
Yes, we do.
If you leave Oregon, you're always going to come back because there's no place like home. Yeah, so welcome back.
Thank you. We're delighted to be here, and it's particularly rewarding for me to see what you have done with the Oregon pre-kindergarten and other programs in Oregon, so I compliment you for that. Again, I'm not going to read my testimony, and you've heard others speak more eloquently than I can. I will address very briefly that the question, can we afford this? I'm not going to answer the question, but I'll raise another question with it. You're in a much better position to answer the question than I am, and I don't envy you your task by any means. But I would ask you, how many proposals are going to come before this committee? How many proposals are going to come before this legislature, this session, where we have a research base, a really good research base that indicates that we can improve student achievement for all students, we can close the achievement gap, we can reduce grade retention, we can reduce the need for remedial education, and we can enhance social development. And by the way, the research does indicate that parents are overwhelmingly supportive of this once it's implemented. You're not going to have too many proposals in front of you that have that kind of a research base. So I would ask maybe a different question, is that can we afford not to do this? So anyway, thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hitz. I appreciate all that you've done for education wherever you've been. My son actually is just finished taking his exams. He's going to graduate school to be a teacher.
Oh, great.
But not at PSU. He's a duck and will always be a duck.
I'm sure he'll get a good background there.
He will, and I appreciate it. So thank you very much. Any questions from the panel?
Sure.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, thank you. Can you expand a little bit in your last paragraph where you talk about you worry a bit about escalating the curriculum, which would be a real concern, I would say, so that K becomes what grade one used to be. Do you see a real...
Those of us in early childhood worry that we might be imposing academic instruction too soon sometimes, and or do it in ways that are inappropriate. We don't want to have kindergarten classrooms that look like third grade or fourth grade or something like that. So we want a program where the children have an opportunity to engage in more hands-on experiences and opportunities to do some problem solving in small groups and individually. The nice thing about the research on full-day kindergarten is that it actually promotes that kind of learning. What teachers say is that they have more time to individualize instruction, the children have more time for small group activity, more time to engage in those hands-on activities, in addition to the academic instruction that's also necessary and appropriate. So it creates a more balanced approach. I think what you were hearing today is from some of the kindergarten teachers was that with a half day, they're feeling very hurried. You know, we do need to provide academic instruction in kindergarten, but if you only have a half day, that's all you get to do. And so you don't balance it with the activities where the children really have an opportunity to apply that academic instruction and really make sense of it.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I also think that there needs to be, at age five, a significant amount of playtime involved, too. So,
well, I wasn't going to use that four-letter word, but absolutely.
My Lord, I'm 55 and I still like to play. So,
yes, you know. Good for you. Me too.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
And while I'm thinking about it, Ms. Grieger, I just want to remind you that your sister can watch your testimony because it is on the Internet. Okay. We have a bad guy added to our panel, so I'm going to add three people. Well, he didn't get added to my list. Cindy Robert asked to be added. So we've got David Williams, Lori Wimmer Whalen, and Cindy Robert. And if there's another bad guy out there.
I'm sure we have to hear from these.
I'm putting you all in quotes. Come on up. And I mean that in the most humorous sense, because you are all experts in your field, and I appreciate the contributions that you're making. So bring us back to reality. Tell us why this bill has problems for you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer Whalen with the Oregon Education Association. And I'd like to thank the Superintendent of Public Instruction and this committee for hearing this issue today. We are not, as you may think, opposed to full-day kindergarten. That would be
right.
Absurd.
Right.
It is not whether we offer it. It is how. And before I tell you a little bit, before I engage in my written testimony, I'd like to tell you a little bit about something most people don't know about me. Before I was an education lobbyist, when I was a young parent with a toddler on his way to kindergarten in a couple years, I just moved into Portland Public School District, and ballot measure 5 had just passed.
Mm.
And the school district was grappling with, of course, coping with the downsizing of their budgets. And then Superintendent Beerworth had proposed to the school board to cut back the full-day kindergarten program to half-day. And I led a parent effort against that cut proposal successfully the first time for the first phase in for Measure 5. We had 115 parents sign the letter that I wrote. I did a lot of research on full-day kindergarten and its beneficial effects. And I spoke to the school board, and Oregonian covered it. And there was a lot of editorializing, and we won the first round. And then we lost another year later in the next round of cuts because of the phase-in of Measure 5. And when my children went to school, we had to pay for full-day kindergarten because it was available only with the Title I dollars in a different part of town. So that's my story as a supporter of full-day kindergarten as an individual. And I'm here representing Oregon Education Association's 46,000 teachers and educational support professionals and community college faculty who believe that Senate Bill 213 is the wrong way to get where we need to go. As you all know, the quality education model, which we've been told we're dreaming to hope for, is more expensive than the current budgets. Or the recent budgets for K-12, and the two greatest cost drivers in that total that the quality education model recommends for an ideal class are full-day kindergarten across the state and class size reduction. Those are the things that make that number so high. So it's kind of ironic to be here before you today to suggest that a distribution formula change that seeks to offer money to schools that want to offer it might be a bad idea. But we are here to say that. And here's why. The research is clear on the pedagogic value of full-day kindergarten, but the distribution formula is not about making magic money. The distribution formula is about spreading equally a per-student target to kids, whether they come from Marcola or Portland or Lake Oswego or Beaverton or anywhere else in the state, no matter what the local property wealth, no matter what the composition of the students. The idea of the distribution formula is to equalize and to consider those uncontrollable costs that districts have to cope with in offering an equal opportunity to education. If we start to distort the formula in order to have a system of rewards and punishments for offering one program or not, then what you do is you move money around and it has a zero-sum effect. I know you've all heard us say this before, but I think if you had the Legislative Revenue Office offer you a run and come up with some different scenarios, you would see that there are winners and losers in this formula. The people who are not in this room speaking to you today are the middle school and high school teachers who are concerned about their students' achievement as well on the later tests. And you might remember some of our test scores have the greatest struggle at those levels. And the other people who are not here, they are those whose school districts would not be able to, even with the distribution formula change, offer a full-day kindergarten program for whatever reasons. It's also true that the capital needs across the state, if everyone were to try to offer it, are estimated conservatively, at least that was a characterization of Mr. Reeder from the Department of Education when he calculated them last year, to be $90 million. That's just for the capital side. That's not for hiring staff. So while I did the math for one of the principals who came up here and talked about hiring 18 teachers, we figured that probably the extra half weight per student would likely cover the costs for that district. It wouldn't work out in every case, and it would only work out for that district if, in fact, there wasn't competition from 196 other districts. That money moves around in such a way. We're not creating money. We are simply moving it around. And so for those students who benefit from a full-day program, there are students elsewhere in the state that are not going to get it and maybe aren't going to get other kinds of programs elsewhere along the line. That's why formula distortions are not the way to solve the problem. With that, I'd be happy to take questions, or you could just hear from my colleagues.
Ms. Orma Whalen, I'm looking at your testimony. Would you expand on Hood River, since Senator Metzger actually raised this under the School Improvement Fund, what the difference is for them?
I'd be happy to, Chair Walker. This committee passed out 2 weeks ago, Senate Bill 318, which this group supports. In fact, I gave you with my testimony a brochure that the nine education associations, COSA, OSBA, and so on, all collaborated on as a part of our coalition effort to ask for the $6.3 billion for the 07-09 biennium, which contemplates $300 million going into the school improvement fund that this committee just unanimously passed. And full-day kindergarten is an option. And it is our feeling that, for example, in Hood River, where Senator Metzger is from, or has in his district, they did make the decision to offer full-day kindergarten. And there were other things that came off the table in order for them to do that. And the school improvement fund for them would enable them to maybe buy back some of those programs lost, because they're already offering full-day kindergarten. And in other places where full-day kindergarten is the next logical step, they would be able to use their $208 per student to go ahead and offer a program. The idea is that when we lost those $1.2 billion over the last 5 years in K-12, different strategies were used by different districts to cope with those cuts. And as each district lost that nearly $1,800 per student, let me say that again, nearly $1,800 per student since 1999, they are also each going to have individualized strategies for building back. We believe the School Improvement Fund is a modest first step toward that. And were I queen of the world, we would have $7.77 billion in the 07-09 biennium, which would enable us to offer full-day kindergarten statewide, as well as small class sizes, as well as dropout retention programs for high school students, and all sorts of other best practices that we all know would make ours the best school system in America.
Thank you. I really appreciate that testimony, because I knew I'd get the research and the data from you. You're very good at that. And we just needed to hear that. So I'll hear from the other two, and then we'll ask some more questions. David, do you want to go next?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Again, thanks for hearing this issue. I think you heard a lot.
State your name for the record.
Excuse me.
Please.
Thank you. David Williams with the Oregon School Boards Association.
No.
I think you, yeah. I think you heard a lot of very compelling testimony today about the value of actually investing in full-day kindergarten. A lot of the research proves to a substantial benefit, particularly for those of lower socioeconomic status, that there is lasting impact on a full-day kindergarten program. And the OSBA definitely supports full implementation of all-day kindergarten and an investment to match that. But let's be clear that the bill before us today is not investment. We're not investing in full-day kindergarten. We're just moving money around inside of a fixed pot here. An actual investment would be supporting $240 million above the governor's proposed budget levels to go into the school improvement fund so that districts could make that investment and choose to voluntarily add full-day kindergarten to their programs. Just my rough calculations here as I turned and asked Kent a quick question, about a half weight in the formula is about $3,000 per student. We're looking at roughly about $165 million statewide. You know, that's not to say that that's the cost of the bill, but that is to say, in putting it in perspective with the request that our coalition has asked for your Ways and Means counterparts of that additional $300 million fund or $240 above the governor's proposed budget, that this type of program, should districts decide that it is the best fit for their district, is fully feasible for them under that. Given capital constraints, and I think you've heard some very eloquent thoughts about the capital constraints approaching the state, and we're partners in any of those statewide efforts beyond full-day kindergarten to look at capital needs. But, again, OSBA and is not here to oppose full-day kindergarten. We're not here to argue the merits and the values of the program. What we are here to say is that there are other means of providing the resources for districts to do this, and the bill before you today is merely just a shift within current operations. If the policy before you is akin to saying that we think full-day kindergarten is of more value than current programs that are being offered, because that is what would happen, is you would take money from existing operations to fund kindergarten. Because in the situation in schools today, we cannot do more with the same amount of money, or with less money. But we can't do more with the same amount of money, and that's what the bill is asking schools to do, is to do more with the same amount of money. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Robert?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert, and I'm here with Chalkboard Project. The lines are roared. I don't think you need the mouse to echo it and waste your time. But I will tell you that Chalkboard indeed believes that the funding formula should not be opened without a comprehensive review, number one. And number two, the menu of options for the School Improvement Fund that has been offered to you by this group and achievement grants that have been offered to you or will be offered to you by our group allow for school districts to make the best choice as to what works in their district. And we applaud the thought of full-day K. We're just not sure that it works for all people. And in that vein, I would offer to you on the first issue of the opening up the school fund, any of our information from our work group on funding and accountability, any facts, figures, numbers, or weighting issues that you would like are available to you by Chalkboard Project. That was a big group with Jim Scherzinger, Warner, Tapania. Those numbers are always available to you if you need that in the weighting conversation. And number two, if you need anything beyond the Oregonian article I just gave you on this issue, if you need any public opinion research as to what the public thinks on these issues, those are also available to you at all times by the Chalkboard Project.
Thank you, and I appreciate the expertise that you offer, and I also appreciated your Oregonian article because it's the headline here is exactly what I've been asking today. Oregon legislators who have a limited budget for early childhood education have to decide whether adopting full-day kindergarten, expanding Head Start, or reducing class sizes would provide the biggest academic gain for the cost. And that was by Suzanne Partington from the Oregonian on January 4th, 2007. And that's exactly the question that we have to make here. It's a little like Sophie's Choice. And, you know, it's not actually a good choice to have to make because they're all valuable things that are research-based. But we have to make a choice. So, Mr. Hunsaker, would you like to take us home? Because we're about ready to close the hearing and
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kent Hunsaker. I'm the executive director for the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. And more than anything, I just want to reinforce some of the thoughts that are here, try and tie them up a little bit. I'm also an advocate for full-day kindergarten. So as we talk about, we're not in opposition to full-day kindergarten. I want to throw a few numbers at you, though. One of those is that when Brian Reeder was up here, he was telling you there's about 40,000 students in every class. And currently, half of those kindergarten students are funded through the state school fund formula. So 20,000 of those. The 40,000 at halftime represents 20,000 full-time students. With this bill, it opens the other 20,000 students to receiving money through the state school fund grant. We recognize that not all 20,000 of those students will be funded, because some districts will choose not to do it for various reasons. They don't have the space or whatever. But as soon as you open that up for 20,000 additional students, keep in mind that the growth in this state in student population is about 4,000 students is projected. That now you have 20,000 more students, or maybe 10, that are now funded through the formula, and since you have a limited pot of money, it means less for every kid, but more kids. And that's what we're talking about here, is that you are moving money. Let's take a Beaverton, for example, because there were some people here from Beaverton. Jerry Colonna is an extreme advocate for full-day kindergarten and early childhood. Beaverton probably does not have the capacity to operate full-day kindergartens in their district. They've got a lot of building to do. So Beaverton may not be one of the districts that is capable of doing that. One other thing I wanted to emphasize is that there are districts that are doing it now, and they're doing it with title funding. And as soon as we go into this funding, that funding is no longer available because it is supplanted. You've heard testimony on that. And then I kind of wanted to talk about when I was in Bethel, we also recognized the value of getting more instruction to kindergarten kids. But we didn't do it through full day. We did it through providing extra help for these kids that we identified. And we have that type of thing going on in a lot of districts now. So, you know, the idea is wonderful, but without the proper funding to spread, what you're going to see is exactly what other folks are talking about, and that is choices being made in districts to be able to operate full-day kindergarten that affects other things. I'm also an advocate for lower class sizes. I'm an advocate for more specialists to assist kids in a variety of areas. I'm an advocate for better materials and supplies for students. I'm an advocate for mentoring programs and better staff development. And I'm an advocate for enhanced literacy programs for students. Those are all in the menu that you see in front of you. And I'm especially an advocate for districts being able to decide the best way to serve their kids. And that's what I think that menu does. If they choose to do full-day kindergarten, the menu allows them to do that. If they choose to invest in enhanced literacy programs, after-school programs, summer school programs, then that would allow them to do that. So flexibility for districts and the money to do that, really important. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate being reminded again about the Title I monies, because if districts get state money then to do kindergarten, all that federal money just goes somewhere else. And the federal government isn't giving us enough money to fund No Child Left Behind or anything else with regard to education. I'd hate to give any of it back. We have questions here. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This committee continues to stretch my comfort level as I once again am agreeing with Ms. Wilmer Whalen. And I don't know what's happening to me. I really don't.
I told you I'd give you a registration card.
I know. I ain't not ready to go there. But I agree with her concerns. Well, this whole panel's concerns over what we're doing to the formula. And Madam Chair, you know, when we were considering during the interim the product that became Senate Bill 318, we also said at that point in time, and Senator Metzger, you remember, for it to be viable, it needs $200 million minimum. And I think that's something we should advocate very strongly for. And, if that bill is appropriately funded, I think it gives us the flexibility we need to move in the direction that I think we all agree we need to move in. I'm just, my comfort level with rich getting richer and poor getting poorer, messing with formula dollars, I have a real uncomfort, unease with that. But I'm wondering, colleagues, if fully funding what we want to do with 318 will achieve the same purpose. And I think that's something we need to discuss.
Well, thank you, Senator, because that's why this is just set for a public hearing today and not a work session, because those are all questions this committee needs to grapple with. Are there any other questions from the panel? Okay, I thank you. I thank everyone for coming and testifying today. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 213 and thank everyone for coming. I think that completes the business of our committee. I'd like to remind our committee we will be in Ashland on February 23rd with a joint meeting with the House Education Committee where we'll take up higher education issues. And before we go down there, we will discuss higher education issues in this committee. So any other comments for the good of the order? All right. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you next Thursday. This Thursday. We're adjourned.